So we're doing our class in Jewish history, and we're up to the year 2197. And that is the year that Yisachar was born. He was born on the 10th of Av. Yisachar lived to the age of 122. There are different discussions in different midrashim what year exactly he passed away. And not everyone agrees that this was the year he was born. We won't go through the different opinions here. What we do know is that the tribes were all preemies. If you do the math, the number of years it took to have 11 tribes, or for Leah to have 7 children, it comes out pretty obvious that they were preemies. And the Gemara actually says it. There are other discussions as to why they all had to be preemies, but you see, they were healthy nonetheless. The Talmud proves, and you can do a simple proof as you go through the genealogy of the Tanakh, that in the days of the Torah, girls could have children at a younger age. That's another interesting thing. Not only were preemies healthy, but the women were fertile at age 7. The Talmud says in their days that wasn't so, but if you go through the Torah, there are places where you see it. It's obvious, you see it in the Nevi'im also, even in King David's time. The book Lechem Aponim writes that Leah had became pregnant with Yisachar, if you recall. Why is his name Yisachar? Because she got the wages for the Dudaim flowers. She gave up the Dudaim plant, and then she got to sleep with Yaakov that night, and she became pregnant with Yisachar. Now, when was it? It says that her son Reuven went out harvesting and found the Dudaim, but it tells us a time. It says, Vayhi bimei k'tzir chitin. Reuven went out looking in the time of harvesting wheat, meaning the story takes place in the month of Tammuz. So that's a little weird. If she became pregnant in Tammuz, he was born a month later in Av, or 13 months later. That doesn't work, right? That's why the book Lechem Aponim disagrees with this opinion that says he was born in the 10th of Av. He says, so he tries to work it out when he was born. There is a discussion that maybe his pregnancy was abnormal, but that's very hard to say. The Al-Sheikh wants to say that she became pregnant on the night of Shavuos. That's why you still can't say that he was born on the 10th of Av. I mean, he'd be too preemie to live. So if it was, you're going to have 14 months to delivery, or Sivan Ir Tammuz Av, 3 months to delivery, it doesn't work. So none of these work, because the tradition seems to say he was born after 7 months, like all the other Shvatim were preemies. So then that doesn't work, really, meaning that if she became pregnant that night, then it doesn't work, because it says that that day was in the time of harvesting wheat. The stone of Yisachar on the breastplate was the sapphire stone, the sapir, and they had a tradition that the sapphire stone benefits one's sight, it helps one see. They used to use the sapphire stone to help, to make cures for all kinds of visual ailments. Others say that the stone...
Glasses?
What?
Like glasses?
No, they used to have these different...
stone, and like the only thing I can think of like doing something with the stone is making like crystal out of it.
No.
It had to magnify stuff.
You could grind it up, you can make a powder out of it. Meaning... they said that sapphire helps alleviate swelling and helps helps cure the eyes. Don't forget, this isn't so accurate. I mean, they're not telling you if it's for a cataract or if it's for an eye infection or what the issue is. In the book Mikol Chaim, he writes that the stone of Yisachar in Arabic is called Achlama. That's the in the Torah, it's called Achlama. And in the Targum for Shir Shirim, he calls it Azmodad, which they say is Achlama, whatever. Yisachar corresponds to the Bina understanding. And afterwards we run into Zvulun, who was born in the 7th of Tishrei and lived for 110 years. I'm skipping all the discussion of when he was born and when he died. The Zvulun stone is the Yahalom, which is called pearl. So Zvulun stone is what we call a pearl. And he says the Christians call it a diamond. And they use it in business to break every other stone. And that's what's called in the Torah the bedolach. And he says that the Yahalom stone helps a person who's having, who's an insomniac. It helps a person sleep. That's the Yahalom stone. Others want to say his stone was the Tarshish. And Zvulun corresponds to wisdom. Now, Dina, we're up to Dina, who was born in the year 2198. Dina was initially formed to be male, right? That's our tradition. Leia prayed and she became a female. That's what the Talmud says in Brachos. The question here is, what about her personality remained female and what about her personality remained male? Some commentaries want to say that Dina was born as a twin of Zvulun's. We have a tradition that her bones were taken up to Israel and she was buried in Arbel, next to Nitai HaArbeli in the north. And Dina was born when Yaakov was 90 years old. Dan was born in the 9th of Elul. He lived 125 years. And his stone is Leshem, what's called, I don't know how to say this, Ashtasibo. I don't know what stone that is. It says that if you look in that stone, you see your reflection upside down. He says that it looks like the white of an egg, and it's clear, and you see your reflection upside down. So we're up to Naphtali, who was born on the 5th of Tishrei and lived 133 years. And we'll pick up here, Naphtali's stone, we'll just finish with Naphtali, was Shavo, which is what we call turquoise. And he says that that helps a person who has a hard time riding on horses. That's what's called in the Tanakh, Achlama. Others say his is the sapphire, and Naphtali corresponds to Netzach. So we'll pick up with God next time, Bezat Hashem.